Tall reeds shielded Kestrel as she waded through the cool marsh shallows. The black mud ate at her strength and made her legs cramp. The travel here would leave no trail for Lambkill to follow. Sunset had blushed color into the rocky lowlands rising to the north. The air had turned cold with the waning light. Spotted sandpipers scurried through the water in front of her, hunting insects. When she got too close, they trilled nervously, and she slowed her pace to keep them calm. From last year's tawny cattail stems, yellow-headed blackbirds watched with cocked heads. She had been walking from dawn's first light to well past dusk, walking as fast as she could, feeding Cloud Girl on the move by swiveling the hide thong of the rabbit fur sack around to her chest. The baby seemed to take the traveling well, but exhaustion weighted Kestrel's body like a granite cape. The knife wounds on her forehead and shoulder had become infected. While the evil spirits fed, the constant pain sapped her strength even further. Her eyes methodically searched the low sandstone outcrops on the fringes of the marsh for a place to make camp. Her hips ached miserably, and too often her legs cramped so badly that she had to rub the knots out of them before she could go on. When she thought that she couldn't take another step, she filled her soul with thoughts of Otter Clan Village, nestled in a tall fir forest at the edge of the ocean. She could smell the salt water, hear the crashing waves. Ice Plant had described it to her over and over on the long winter nights when they'd held each other and watched the Star People travel through the land of the dead. Now, those visions kept her sane. On the opposite bank of the marsh, a small village hid in the shadows cast by a grove of willows. The 10 grass lodges, their dome-shaped roofs made from woven cattail, looked new and well-kept. As dusk settled in a blue veil over the land, cook fires glittered to life. Kestrel's eyes involuntarily strayed across the water, and she caught sight of a man ducking out of a lodge. He was smiling. He walked toward a woman who stood in the central plaza and softly stroked her hair.
Why couldn't I have been born here, above old man? If I'd been born here, I'd have a husband who loved me and Cloud Girl.
Kestrel peered down at her reflection in the water. The dark blue bruises had faded to purple and yellow.
Tenderness?
Did such a thing really exist anywhere for anyone now? Did some people's lives just seem beautiful because they kept all of the violence and pain hidden behind the walls of their lodges, just as she had for 5 long cycles?
Somewhere, it must exist. Please, above old man, let it exist for someone. It can't have all died with Ice Plant.
Her right leg cramped again. There, that was the place she needed. Warily, cautiously, she slogged toward a rock overhang that darkened the face of a red sandstone knoll barely visible through the screening marsh vegetation. The reeds and mud ended, and moss created a velvet blanket on the rising ground around the knoll, cushioning her steps as she bent low to enter the rock shelter. Her eyes had deceived her. It was smaller than it had seemed from a distance, barely a body length across and half a length wide. But it would be big enough for a night's rest. Other humans had taken refuge here. Shreds of woven grass matting were lying about, and someone had napped out a stone tool here and left brown chert flakes in a pile. A fire pit filled with charcoal marked the middle of the floor. Ash rose when Kestrel slumped down beside it. The jolt brought Cloud Girl awake.
It's all right, baby. We're safe.
Kestrel untied the sack and lifted it over her head, then carefully laid it in her lap.
Are you hungry, Cloud Girl? Me too. We had a long day, didn't we?
Kestrel stretched. Taking the weight from her shoulders had eased her, but her lower back still hurt.
It won't be long now, Cloud Girl. Another 7 or 8 days, and we should reach the sea. Then we'll just have to walk by the water's edge until we find Otter Clan Village. They'll let us rest. They'll help us. You'll see. Ice Plant told me they would.
She tipped Cloud Girl's sack on its side to retrieve the small pack of tools and dried meat she had tied behind the hood. She couldn't risk building a fire. If the villagers saw the light, they would come to investigate, and no one must know she had passed this way. The last few strips of jerked taper would have to do for supper. Kestrel pulled the strips out and chewed them slowly, savoring each bite. She hadn't eaten since before dawn, and the sweet, smoky meat tasted especially wonderful. The blue of Cloud Girl's eyes had begun to deepen. By the next moon, they would be a deep, dark brown. Kestrel brought up her knees and propped the rabbit fur sack on them, then loosened her dress and drew out her left breast. Cloud Girl took the nipple and nursed contentedly, while Kestrel finished the taper jerky. She held the baby to her and sank back against the cool wall. Shadows had devoured the reeds and cattails. To the north, she could just glimpse a slice of the Mammoth Mountains, their jagged peaks turning purple with night.
That's the way, Cloud Girl. Your father's people are through there, where the foothills start up towards the peaks. There's a pass. We must go through it, then walk as far west as we can, to the sea.
Kestrel stretched out on her side and watched the evening colors vanish in the embrace of night. She clutched Cloud Girl tightly against her and fell into an exhausted sleep. Gray clouds scudded across the morning sky, sailing eastward. Horseweed glanced at them as he loped down the forest path. Would it rain again? He hoped not. The mud from the last storm had yet to dry. His moccasins were so caked with it that they stuck to his feet like a damp second skin.
Sunchaser! Wait! Wait!
Sunchaser rounded a bend in the trail ahead, and Horseweed lost sight of him. He slowed down.
We're never going to catch him.
It doesn't look like he wants us to.
Horseweed and Balsam had been tracking the dreamer for 3 days. Every time that Horseweed thought they'd caught him, he seemed to vanish into thin air, along with that mangy dog of his.
He's probably cast a spell on us, so we can't see him. I bet he's standing right there in front of us, laughing.
Dreamers don't cast spells. Only witches do that.
If witches can do it, why can't dreamers?
Well, maybe they can, I don't know. But I've never heard of a dreamer using spells.
Does it mean they can't? Did you ever think that's why we didn't see the herd of sacred deer or the woodpile at the dream cave?
Or maybe the deer had wandered into the forest to bed down until dark, and Catstraw used up all the wood last autumn.
You think Sunchaser lied about eating the deer?
Sunchaser wouldn't eat sacred deer. He'd be afraid to, like everybody with sense. He probably just said that to mock us.
The trail broke out into a meadow that sloped off down the side of the mountain. Horseweed stopped to scrutinize the maze of tracks crisscrossing the grass. In the mud, he saw elk, wolf, camel, and rabbit prints. Nothing that looked human. He shook his head. Maybe Sunchaser had stayed in the trees? A bushy hedge of cypress created an unbroken ring around the edges of the meadow. Horseweed walked next to them, listening to the wind whisper through the dark green foliage. He noted the places where a giant sloth had stripped the branches of new growth and left piles of fresh dung. As he watched, bars of sunlight shot across the meadow. The dewdrops clinging to the blades of grass sparkled. Such a beautiful day. At this pace, they would be home by nightfall.
Oh, it's going to be embarrassing if Sunchaser gets home before we do.
Why? Who cares? Anyway, there's not much we can do about it. I wonder why he didn't want to talk to us.
After what we did to the dream cave, I wouldn't want to talk to us either.
Oh, that's why you're worried. You think that Sunchaser will tell Catstraw?
Why wouldn't he?
I don't know, but I'm not going to tell anybody. Least of all Catstraw.
They reached the southern side of the meadow, where the trail entered the trees again. A clear slash of brown covered with elk tracks wound down the slope. Horseweed put his hands on his hips and gazed out across the vista. Straight ahead, Mother Ocean spread vast and blue. her body wedded with brother skies in the distance, marking the hazy border to the land of the dead. At the point where Father Sun set, there was an opening. That was where souls entered the land of the dead. The clouds split for a moment, and sunlight spilled around Horseweed. Balsam tipped his face to the warmth.
Well, come on. The sooner we get home, the sooner our humiliation will be over.
They broke into a trot. But when they rounded a bend in the trail, there was Sunchaser, standing with one shoulder against the trunk of a fir tree, his arms folded across his broad chest. Horseweed stopped before Sunchaser.
Oh, we've been trying to catch you.
A smile warmed the dreamer's face. He stepped away from the tree and put an arm around Horseweed's shoulder as if they were old friends, and headed him down the trail again. They walked side by side, with Balsam following. Horseweed peered at the dreamer's arm as he walked.
Well, what did you want, Sunchaser? Did you have something to say to me?
I've been thinking about that earthquake we had in the high mountains.
Earthquake? What earthquake?
The one that caused the roof of the dream cave to collapse. I think it was a sign.
A sign of what? Stupidity?
Not at all. I'm sure that if you and Balsam had not come up and called me out when you did, I would have been in the dream cave when that earthquake struck. Yes, no doubt about it. Oxbalm should be very proud of you when he hears of how you saved me.
That's what you're going to tell him?
You did call to me, didn't you?
I didn't mean to call you those things, Sunchaser. I didn't recognize you. You look so much older with your white hair. If I'd known...
You called me out, and then the quaking earth spirits poured their wrath on the mountains. Isn't that right?
If you say so.
Good. It's settled. Now, I need some help from you.
Ha! We'll be heroes! What did I tell you? They'll probably hold a dance in our honor. For cycles to come, people will speak our names with pride.
Sunchaser gazed steadily at Horseweed.
Will you help me?
What do you need?
I need to know what Ketchstraw has been saying about me. I missed another mammoth spirit dance. Surely he noticed.
Ketchstraw doesn't like you, Sunchaser.
I've noticed that. What did he say when I missed the dance?
We left the village the day before the dance started, but I did hear him tell Grandfather that if you hadn't appeared by the end of the dance, he was going to... I think he said he was going to seek advice among the clan elders.
He has every right.
You think he's trying to take your place? Ketchstraw's no dreamer. He's a fake. Grandfather's certain of it.
Yes, but Oxbalm has seen enough dreamers come and go that he can tell the difference. The other clan leaders? Well, we'll see. I won't judge them before I've had a chance to talk to them.
Are you expecting them to condemn you for missing the dance again? Sunchaser, you were in the mountains, healing. Everybody knows that. How could they condemn you for saving lives?
Oh, they may not condemn me, but most people think that their own needs are far more important than the needs of others. And I suspect that the Otter Clan villagers thought they needed me. They didn't, of course. Mammoth above hears the songs, feels the motions of the dance, whether I'm there or not.
And if they do condemn you, they're fools. Us people at Brushnut Village are our relatives, cousins, even aunts and uncles. How could you leave the sick and dying just to lead the mammoth spirit dance for us?
Sunchaser peered at Horseweed.
Well, it makes me mad. I see why you're worried. If you had come to the dance, somebody would have cursed you for leaving their relative to die. Since you didn't come, they'll curse you because you didn't lead the dance for them. You were cursed either way, Sunchaser.
The dreamer smiled and studied the deer tracks in the mud of the trail for a few moments.
I hadn't realized that you'd grown up, Horseweed. It's good to have a man to talk to.
Horseweed's chest swelled. Though he tried to hide it by turning his head to the side, a broad smile came over his face. Technically, he wasn't a man, although he certainly felt like one. It elated him that the great dreamer thought he was.
Sunchaser, what's it like to visit the land of the dead? I've always wanted to ask you, but I've been too afraid before. Grandfather says it's very dark.
Oh, yes. At first, the darkness is so deep and still that you feel your soul will be crushed by it. But then you hear voices. They're familiar, though it takes a while to recognize them. They call out to you, and you cling to the sound of your own name as though it were the only thing saving you from oblivion. You concentrate on it. Then the darkness changes, becomes a great white light that swallows you and carries you up, up. Then you step out into an alien sky, and you fall toward a new land. Trees, red ridges so jagged and winding they remind you of the skeletons of long-dead monsters. A land terrifying in its beauty.
Sunchaser's eyes took on a faraway gleam, as though seeing that landscape rising before him again. Wonder tingled in Horseweed's chest. He watched Sunchaser from the corner of his eye, but kept quiet, letting the dreamer remember. When Sunchaser's step slowed, Horseweed took the lead down the trail. Balsam eased around Sunchaser very carefully before running to catch up.
What's wrong?
Dreamers. They're all scary. Sort of half here and half somewhere else.
Well, that's why we call them dreamers.
Kestrel bounced Cloud Girl on her knees. Near panic, she couldn't think of anything else to do. The baby had grown irritable after her noon feeding. Then she'd started crying and had yet to stop. Kestrel had made camp early in an oak grove overlooking a small lake. The newly budded limbs threw a black weave of shadows over her hastily constructed lodge. Made of dead branches propped against each other, then covered with brush, it looked shabby and fragile, but it would keep them dry if it rained tonight. That was all Kestrel cared about. Tomorrow morning, they would be running again.
Oh, shh, my daughter, shh. Please, what's wrong?
They had made their way through a low, rocky pass at the southern tip of the Mammoth Mountains and entered the foothills on the other side. Northward, snow-capped peaks pierced the blue sky. But Kestrel's eyes drifted to the west, where the land flattened out and gradually sloped downward. Dark patches of mountain mahogany choked the drainages that flowed toward the sea. Between the drainages, a strewn handful of small lakes was burnished a greenish gold by the slanting rays of light.
Shh, 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 shh. Try to eat, baby.
Again, Kestrel put her breast in the baby's mouth, but again, Cloud Girl twisted away to wave her tiny fists.
Baby, what do you need? What's wrong?
The cries were driving Kestrel to distraction. Nothing stopped them. Frantic, she put Cloud Girl against her shoulder and got to her feet. Sunlight fell through the trees, warming her face as she walked the trail toward the lake. Cloud Girl seemed to like the motion. Kestrel patted her bottom, hoping to ease her daughter. Probably Cloud Girl had colic.
I could cure you easily if we were home, baby. The entire country of the Bearlook's Bat Clan is filled with bunchberry and nettle. But where would I look for them here? The land and plants are so different.
Kestrel strode through a meadow of blue wildflowers, looking for the winter dung of a buffalo, or maybe, if she were lucky, a shrub ox. She found buffalo dung first.
Oh, this won't take long, Cloud Girl. Please, be good. Don't cry.
But as soon as Kestrel laid Cloud Girl on the soft green grass, the baby started up again. At the age of 3 weeks, Cloud Girl had developed the lungs of a 2-moon-old child. Kestrel hurried. She lifted Cloud Girl's shirt, then unlaced and removed her rabbit fur pants, seeing the soaked, crushed bark within. The pants, nothing more than a square piece of hide folded over and stitched up along the sides, with two leg holes in the bottom, had a protective layer of woven bark sewn into the crotch, which was filled with absorbent. The layer rested against Cloud Girl's body, keeping her dry. Kestrel turned the pants upside down and shook out the old absorbent, letting it fall to the grass. Then she crumbled the buffalo dung and tucked it between the woven bark layer and the hide. It would absorb all the moisture that flowed through the bark layer. She did not redress Cloud Girl. Instead, she picked up the pants and her screaming daughter and headed straight for the lake. Mixing crushed mint with water, she thoroughly washed the baby.
There. There, Cloud Girl. Feeling better now?
Kestrel slipped the pants over those fat little legs and relaced them.
Oh, up.
Kestrel quickly rose and began walking with her again.
Will I have to walk all night to keep you happy, my daughter?
They circled the perimeter of the lake. Cloud Girl stopped crying so suddenly that Kestrel came to a dead halt in the grass.
Goodness, my daughter. Did the colic vanish so quickly?
Cloud Girl stared at her from wide eyes. Kestrel kissed her daughter's forehead in relief.
Let us go and try to sleep. The sky is clear, and we'll have a full moon tonight. Maybe we can start walking again at midnight.
So relieved was she that she didn't notice that the birds had stopped singing. Kestrel got on her knees and crawled into the dark interior of her lodge, with Cloud Girl still pressed to her shoulder. She smelled his male scent before she saw him sitting on her bedding in the rear. She threw herself backward out onto the ground and frantically stumbled to her feet. He caught her by the arm and whirled her around. Kestrel clutched Cloud Girl tightly. A broad smile split his young face. He couldn't have been more than 16 summers, but he stood 11 hands tall and had broad, muscular shoulders.
I heard your baby crying. A woman and a baby. A woman who looks beat up. And a newborn baby. Aw, this is a great day. I think that maybe Buffalo Bird has just become a rich man.
What are you talking about?
He kept a firm hold on her arms, as though afraid she might try to run.
I met a trader, an ugly old man. He offered many wonderful trade goods to the man who could track down his runaway wife. You're her, aren't you?
Who?
Kestrel, from the Bear Looks Back clan. Lambkill's woman.
Kestrel's knees wanted to shake, but she wouldn't let them. She could see his indecision. He looked her up and down and peered at her face as though memorizing the bruises and the festered gash across her forehead. With a violent wrench, Kestrel twisted loose from his grip.
Oh, no, I'm not! My name is Lame Antelope. I'm from the Otter Clan village on the sea. Who are you?
You're 2 days from home, Lame Antelope. Why?
That's my business. Only 2 days? Blessed spirits! I'm closer than I thought! So close!
The youth ground his teeth thoughtfully for a moment, as though testing her.
That traitor? He was as crazy as a foaming-mouthed dog. If he'd been my husband, I would have run away too.
Crazy? What do you mean? What did he do?
He carries a dried-out baby around in his pack. Whenever he sees a campfire, he and his brother, Tannin is his name, walk into the camp carrying that dead boy before them.
Kestrel's heart lurched. She fought to keep her face blank while she tried to figure out how it had happened. Had Lambkill searched the shoreline looking for her trail, and that's when he found the baby boy? Her heart pounded nauseatingly. Had he also found the cave where...
Yes, he must have. He knew I'd had twins.
A woman... and a newborn baby.
Panic gripped her like the fists of doom. She longed to ask when Buffalo Bird had talked to Lambkill and where. Instead, she hoisted Cloud Girl up onto her shoulder again and patted her back furiously.
Good girl. Can you manage another one?
So you're not this Kestrel, huh? Well, doesn't matter.
What do you mean by that?
I mean I have to take you to Lambkill anyway, just to be sure. I wouldn't want to chance losing my fortune.
He gripped her arm tightly.
Come on. My lodge is much bigger than yours, and I killed a deer this morning. You can cook it for me and my brothers for dinner.
My clan will kill you for this. You can't just kidnap me and my baby for no reason. My family will come looking.
Let them. I have many brothers with weapons. 4 of them are at my camp right now.
He roughly hauled her up the slope by her sleeve.
Let go of me! You must at least let me get my pack from my lodge. There are things in it that my little girl needs.
Irritably, he stopped and let her loose.
All right, but hurry. It'll be dark soon.
Dust swept the beach in glittering plumes and sizzled against the hide lodges in Otter Clan Village. Most of the people still slept. Their ears laid back, only the dogs prowled the plaza, slinking through the cold wind that gusted down from the north. With it came a billowing swell of blue-gray clouds and the fragrance of rain. Sunchaser braced his shoulder against the trunk of a fir tree. He gazed out to Mother Ocean, whose face had gone ashen with the coming of morning. In the surging waves, the 34 mammoth skeletons lay like huge white cages. More mammoths than Sunchaser had seen at once in his entire life. Leg bones littered the sand, torn off and scattered by dire wolves and big cats. But the ribs remained intact. The OtterClan villagers had butchered and smoked enough meat to last the entire cycle. They'd also called in people from nearby villages, begging them to take what they needed. Everyone had gone away with packs full of meat. Most had been smiling. As Sunchaser looked upon the pathetic remains of those enormous animals, his fear, the fear that had stalked him for moons, metamorphosed into despair, he shook his head.
Relics of the last days.
What does that mean?
Oxbalm stepped up behind him.
The last days?
Nothing. I'm just tired, Oxbalm.
I think it's more than that. Were things bad at Brushnut Village?
So many died. So quickly. I didn't have time to count them.
I could feel your ache. And your silence the past few days. That's why I waited to talk with you. You couldn't help the people in Brushnut?
I helped as many as I could. But half the village is gone. Just gone. Most of them were children. Babies.
Is that why you missed the Mammoth Spirit Dance? We waited and waited for you. Mammoths dying. Villages dying. Mother Ocean is always upset. This winter was colder than any I've witnessed in all my 53 summers. And our greatest dreamer is angry with the whole world. Is that what you meant, Sunchaser? When you said that the mammoths are relics of the last days, did you mean that our way of life is about to die? That we haven't much time left? Please talk to me, Sunchaser. Will you tell me what troubles your soul? I need to understand what's happening. You seem to hate everyone. But I can think of nothing we've done to madden you.
I'm not angry with you, Oxbalm. And I don't hate anyone.
Sunchaser turned to brace his back against the tree trunk, so that he could not see the dead mammoths, but instead faced the southern shoreline and the village of new mammoth-hide lodges.
Oxbalm, I've discovered something in the past cycle, something that frightens me.
What is that?
I've discovered that there is a wilderness inside all of us. Oh, we fought to tame it, to silence its wild voices, but we never will. The wilderness lives in the bones of our souls. I've been watching the people in the villages I've visited during the past few moons. Whalebeard Village and Brushnut Village are worse than here, but you've seen it too. People walk the worn paths between the lodges with their eyes downcast and their foreheads furrowed. Back and forth, day after day, moon after moon. Even the children frown as they plod in their elders' footsteps.
Yes, I've seen it.
Sunchaser met and held Oxbalm's worried gaze.
I've tried asking them why they're unhappy, Oxbalm. What they want out of life. They say they're angry, that Winter Boy was hard on them, and that they have to travel great distances to dig the few tubers that are sprouting. Or they tell me they need more meat. In rage, they demand, where have all the mammoths and mastodons gone? What happened to the giant sloths that used to skulk everywhere? Some whisper that the end of the world is near. Haven't I seen it? They ask. I'm a great dreamer. If they've seen it, surely I must have too. Surely I must have too.
And what do you tell them, Sunchaser?
I tell them to wait. Don't give up, I say. Wait and see what the spirits have in store for us. But whether they understand it or not, I know the source of their pain.
What is the source of it? I've wondered for a long time.
It's so clear. Why is it only I who seems to understand? Humans killed all the mastodons and the sloths. We're killing all the mammoths. But we haven't silenced their voices. The lonesome trumpeting and playful grunts. The voices of all the animals we've killed seeped into the wilderness in our souls, where we never stop hearing them. After tens of cycles, the calls of all the dead have grown so loud that they make a deep ache in our souls. It's almost unbearable, and humans refuse to answer the calls. Perhaps we're afraid, Perhaps we don't know how to answer anymore. Except at night.
At night?
Yes. Last moon, a very old woman who had seen mastodons as a child told me that in her dream she became mastodon. She said it felt so warm living inside that hairy hide. She said she could feel the wind ruffling her long hair as she roamed in search of twigs and shrubs. She said that when she lifted her trunk and trumpeted, the whole world trembled. And I'll tell you something, Oxbaum. My own wilderness shook, as if the quaking earth spirits had possessed my soul. I've been thinking about that. Thinking that maybe if everyone trumpeted in their dream, the mastodons would come back. I've never seen one, yet I miss them. I miss their lumbering tread and the tender way they used to twine their trunks when they mated. I've heard the elders describe it.
Is that what has turned your hair white? The dread?
Is a world without mastodons or mammoths worth living in, Oxbaum? You tell me. I must know.
Oxbaum tipped his face up. As the wall of blue-black clouds moved closer, the first raindrops beaded on his cheeks.
Isn't that why we dance the mammoth spirit dance? So we can save ourselves and the mammoths? I thought that was what Wolf Dreamer told you when you visited the land of the dead.
That's what he told me, yes.
But you've decided that the dance isn't going to work. Is that it?
I didn't say that. I meant...
that we're going to die. Just like the mammoths on the shore.
No. No, Oxbaum, I...
You've lost faith, Dreamer. How did that happen? When did it happen, Sunchaser? It doesn't matter, really, but I'd like to know.
I still have faith.
Maybe you have hope. Yes, maybe. But hope is not the same as faith. So tell me, Dreamer, how does a man who has looked Wolf Dreamer straight in the face stop believing? Tonight at the council session, people will ask you that. Catchstraw will ask you. Prepare yourself.
Oh, I'm prepared for many things. I've heard the rumors about Catchstraw's dream. What frightens me the most is that somewhere deep inside me, I fear that Catchstraw may be right. I've been having trouble, Oxbaum, with my dreaming.
What do you mean, trouble? Just because you're having problems dreaming, it doesn't mean you've been abandoned by Mammoth above, as Catchstraw alleges.
No, but...
Helper ducked out of the small lodge that Oxbaum had set up for them. The dog had one ear pricked, the unfurred one, and his dark eyes shone like obsidian underwater.
What is it, Helper?
The dog trotted by him and loped out across the sand toward a couple of lions laying on some rocks. The big male got to his feet. He growled, but not at Helper, at something he sensed in the forest. His breath condensed into a shimmering gray haze. When Helper began to run northward along the beach toward the mammoth skeletons, both lions leaped down from the rocks and followed.
What do they see?
I don't know. I see nothing. Stay here, Oxbaum. I'll go find out.
Sunchaser turned toward the sound. It was someone from the village. The first mammoth broke through the trees like a tidal wave, her head swinging, her ears flapping back and forth. The reddish-brown hair on her body hung long and shaggy and shook as she ran. She charged out into the midst of the village, six other mammoths close on her heels. The lions fled into the forest, seeking the protection of the trees, while the dogs scattered with their tails between their legs. Sunchaser stood stunned as the mammoths thundered by him, heading into the village. Oxbaum fell back a step, his mouth open in shock.
Blessed Mother Ocean, why is this happening?
An attack so soon after the drownings? What was Mammoth Above trying to tell humans? She must have been desperate to have... The village awoke in a running horde. Women grabbed their children and raced toward the safety of the densest trees, while men struggled to knock darts in their atlatas. Three of the mammoths trampled lodges, while the other three pursued the humans, twisting their thick trunks like writhing serpents.
Sunchaser, get your weapons!
I can't kill a mammoth! They're sacred animals to me. I can't do it.
You would let them kill us instead? Get out of our village and never come back.
Oxbalm ran on for his own lodge and his weapons. Sunchaser stood rigid, watching the lead cow bear down on a young child and her mother. They were too slow. The cow trampled them both.
No!
Sunchaser ran to his lodge and came out with his atlatl and quiver of darts slung over his shoulder. The rage of the herd dazed him. Everywhere, clouds of gray ash rose from the fire pits in pulverized lodges. Two trees had been uprooted and thrown down. How strange this was. Sometimes a bull would go rogue and trample a village, but a whole herd? And why this village? Why now? Sunchaser sprinted out into the center of the chaos and sighted on a big cow as she thundered past. His dart took her squarely in the lungs. She swerved, spotted him, and charged from not more than 40 hands away. Sunchaser dove to the right. He rolled to his feet as the cow turned, her trunk lashing back and forth with deadly intent.
Mother, why are you doing this? What have we done to deserve this punishment? We didn't cause the drownings!
The cow stopped and stared at him, pain and disbelief in her eyes.
Did we?
Blood blew from her mouth, showering him with hot drops. He crawled behind a fir tree, pulled another dart from his quiver, and knocked it in the hook of his atlatl.
Mother, please tell me!
Before he could finish, Horseweed and Balsam rushed out of the trees and launched darts into the cow's left side.
No, wait, stop! She's not...
He was too late. The cow ran at Horseweed and his brother. Sunchaser rose and let fly with his dart. He caught the cow low in the right side. Horseweed struck her with two more darts before her legs went weak, and she stumbled sideways, crashing into Sunchaser's lodge. She regained her balance, stood trembling, then fell to her knees. Her huge head rocked on her shoulders as clots of lung blood spewed from her mouth and trunk.
Balsam, go help your grandfather! Horseweed, come with me!
Horseweed followed Sunchaser down toward the southern edge of the village, where two mammoths, one of them the lead cow, had trapped a half dozen people against a rock outcrop.
Don't think about it, just act. Sunchaser! Look out to your left!
An enormous bull broke from the trees, heading straight for him. The dawn seemed to die around Sunchaser. He stood rooted. The bull's tusks gleamed yellow in the early morning light. The bull reached out with his trunk. Sunchaser instinctively threw himself sideways, out from under the trampling feet. Suddenly, all the mammoths stopped and stood quietly, as though entranced by that call. Villagers slipped away and ran for the forest, but Sunchaser fell back at the base of the rock outcrop, studying the animals. The lead cow let her huge head fall. Her whole body shuddered. For the briefest of instants, she looked into Sunchaser's eyes. The hatred there changed to a pain so deep and profound that he could scarcely stand it. His soul felt stricken as a glimmer of understanding flickered through him. He let his atlatl drop to the sand. She and the two surviving bulls limped away down the shore, toward the place where Helper stood, his muzzle pointed up.
Sunchaser! Sunchaser! Come quickly!
He spun and saw Oxbalm kneeling, holding a child in his arms. He ran through the scattered belongings, past demolished lodges and dead and dying mammoths, to crouch down beside Oxbalm. The old man buried his face in the blood-soaked hem of his granddaughter's dress. Her beautiful face was still. Long tresses of her black hair brushed the sand by Oxbalm's moccasins.
Oh, not my granddaughter! Not Mountain Lake. What's happening, Sunchaser? What are the mammoths trying to tell us? First they kill themselves, then they kill us. What's gone wrong with the world? You walk the path through the maze to the land of the dead. You should know why this is happening.
People moved through the misty morning, searching. Sunchaser's throat ached. He clenched his fists and shook them with weary futility.
I don't know why!
The village went quiet. As though frozen in time, people stopped to stare at him.
I've lost my way through the maze!
From across the wrecked village, Catchstraw stared dumbstruck at Sunchaser, as though he'd heard news too good to believe. Helper trotted back, his black eyes wide and unblinking. He took Sunchaser's sleeve in his mouth and tugged him northward.
No, Helper, I must stay. The council session is tonight. I have to...
The dog tugged so hard that Sunchaser almost toppled to the sand.
All right. I'm coming.
Helper loped out in the lead, keeping sight of the retreating mammoths as they traveled through the forest. Sunchaser followed on weak legs. The boy watched through wide, horrified eyes.
Why are you tormenting them so, man? What have they done to deserve this? They are good people. They obey your laws. They follow your ceremonials. They give you every ounce of their souls. And you do this to them? Are you good, man? Or are you wicked? I accuse you of wickedness. You are evil. That's why you won't let me live. That's why you want me to commit myself to that putrid dead body. Why do you not defend yourself, man? I am waiting for your excuse. Speak to me!
Boy, boy. Go down to Earth and find a rock to curse. I want you to curse it soundly.
But why should I?
Just do it.
So the boy did. He found a big rock, big and ugly and gray, and he spent 3 days cursing it up one side and down the other. He cursed the rock, and he whipped it with branches until he grew too tired to continue. Then he flew back up to the black sky and took his place amongst the twinkling star people.
I have done it, man.
What did Rock say to you?
Nothing.
Nothing at all. He didn't object to your curses.
No, it was just a rock. Just a dead rock.
Nothing is dead, boy. Your arrogance blinds you to the many lives going on around you all the time. That is like most humans. Rock just spent part of his life to teach you a very great lesson.
What lesson?
If you did not understand Rock's silence, boy, you will never understand anyone's words. Letting you be born would be a curse upon the world.
It's been only 3 weeks since Mother Ocean called to Oxbaum and showed him the sign.
Catchstraw was at the eastern end of the council fire. They'd set up the meeting away from the devastated village in a narrow fissure in the sea cliffs, but they could still see the broken fragments of their lives on the beach. Firelight gilded the dead faces of their loved ones, who lay beneath warm hides at the edge of the trees. Before them, a carpet of crushed bones from lodge frames glittered. Catchstraw pointed at the ravaged skeletons of the mammoths on the beach, then at each of the huge carcasses left from the morning's attack.
And I ask you, what do you think the sign meant? Sunchaser claimed he didn't know. What do you think the mother was trying to tell us?
30 people huddled beneath their hides on the ground in front of him. Some peered at him stoically. A few had adoration in their eyes. Most looked skeptical and bored.
I'll show you, you old imbeciles. Not even Sunchaser can stand in the way of my power. Look around you. Our village is gone. 13 of our friends and loved ones are dead. Illnesses are butchering our sister villages in the mountains. And when did it all start?
Oxbaum sat cross-legged at the west end of the fire, his gray head down. Sumac held an elk hide over his shoulders, hugging him and whispering to him. Catchstraw could not hear Sumac's words, but he knew from Oxbaum's face that they had nothing to do with Sunchaser. Probably Sumac was trying to comfort Oxbaum about Mountain Lake.
Good. Keep him busy, Sumac. This way the people can think for themselves for once.
But the villagers kept eyeing Oxbaum as though expecting him to comment. Preoccupied, Oxbaum drew designs in the sand around his moccasined foot.
I'll tell you when it started. It began when Sun Chaser missed the first Mammoth Spirit Dance. Remember? It was right after that that illness ran through Teal Wing Village.
Are you saying that Sun Chaser is the cause of this?
Catch Straw looked out into the dark edge of the crowd and saw Horseweed standing there.
Think about it. Sun Chaser has missed 4 dances straight. 4 is a sacred number. And he left right after the mammoths destroyed our village. That's when we needed him most. He should have been here to help us pray our loved ones to the land of the dead.
He's never here anymore when we need him.
With obvious effort, Old Woman Yuckathorn rose and let her eyes drift through the gathering.
Catch Straw is right. You all heard Sun Chaser this morning. He said that he couldn't get through the maze, that he'd lost his way to the land of the dead. That could happen only if Wolf Dreamer has given up on him.
Catch Straw heard it himself. Everyone had. Sun Chaser had admitted that he could no longer find his way through the maze. This new dreaming technique had elevated Catch Straw to heights he'd never known and blinded Sun Chaser. He'd been practicing it nearly every night. Of course, he couldn't tell that to any of these fools. They'd accuse him of witching. It had been cycles since he'd heard about anyone being witched, but he knew the old stories. Witches used power for wicked things. Generally, witches traveled in human form, but sometimes they transformed themselves, taking the legs of wolves so they could run faster, or the teeth of saber-toothed cats, or the strength of short-faced bears so they could tear their victims to pieces. One notorious witch from Tide's village, far to the north, was reputed to have undertaken his nightly activities only after removing his eyes and depositing them in a basket in his lodge. He then borrowed the eyes of a lion so he could see better in the darkness.
What was his name? Yes, Cactus Lizard.
The fool. His own dog had found the basket that held his human eyes and gobbled them down, so that he'd been forced to walk the village the next day with his golden lion eyes. People had run screaming. The village elders had ordered that Cactus Lizard be weighted with granite stones, taken far out into the ocean, and heaved overboard in punishment. But what an interesting idea. Catch Straw smiled to himself. What would it be like to prowl the night in the body of a wolf?
Is that it, old woman?
Dizzy Seal sat on the ground. His flat face gleamed like burnished copper.
Or is it that Sun Chaser is tired? Eh? All of you! Sun Chaser has been traveling from one sick village to the next, healing people. That's why he hasn't been here to lead the dances. Would you have him let people die so he could come to dance with us?
Catch Straw saw his chance.
I had a dream!
Catch Straw peered out beyond the glare of the fire to see who was laughing.
Poor Swede.
The boy crouched behind Sumac. Balsam knelt beside him, whispering in his brother's ear. Catch Straw drew himself up to his full height.
Mammoth above came to me. I was sleeping under that fir tree over there, and the dream came upon me in a roar like the wings of the thunder beings.
So what did she say, Catch Straw?
Listen to me. Mammoth above said that her children killed themselves out of anger. Anger at Sun Chaser. Not because he can't get to the land of the dead, but because he won't even try. He's given up. He refuses to talk to Mammoth Above.
Why would he do that? Mammoth Above is his spirit helper. Without her, he's lost.
And so are we all, boy. That's the point. Sun Chaser admitted today that he's lost. We have to find a new dreamer to go to the land of the dead. And quickly, before it's too late. Before all the mammoths have disappeared from the world.
Just who did you have in mind as the new dreamer, Cat Straw? You?
You brat. How dare you?
This is silly.
Horseweed got to his feet.
Sun Chaser is the only dreamer we know who can get to the land of the dead. Have you ever been there, Cat Straw?
Well, I...
When Cat Straw hesitated, a few people got up in disgust and left the gathering.
No, I haven't. You know why? I copied that maze that Sun Chaser has on his square of deer-eyed, and it leads nowhere. I'm telling you the truth. He claims that anyone can follow it to get to the land of the dead. Have any of you been able to? Who? Shout out your name!
Some of the people who had been walking away stopped to listen.
Bah! How many have tried? Oh, yes, we're all content to dance and sing for the mammoth's return. But how many of us have actually attempted to find our way through the maze? Yes, just as I thought. Sun Chaser keeps telling us he needs our help, but as long as we believe that he can get through, we don't think we have to. We can all sit back knowing that he's doing the hard work. Well, I for one am not willing to condemn him until I've tried it myself.
Go ahead, try. I'll loan you my copy of the maze. Then come back and tell us, Dizzy Seal. Tell us if you could get through. I promise you'll find that it leads.
His words were consumed by the conversation that flared up when Oxbalm rose. Oxbalm looked small and feeble in the light of the flames, holding his elk-hide over his old shoulders. He raised a hand for silence. All eyes focused on him.
This talk of Sun Chaser is meaningless. What we must think about now is our village. The power is gone from this place. Broken, scattered to the winds. We must move. Where should we go to rebuild?
Sumac rose and slipped her arm around Oxbalm's waist. Then they walked away together toward their robes in the forest. The entire gathering began to disperse, leaving Catchstraw standing almost alone in the windswept plaza. Only Old Woman Yuckathorn came up to him. Her ancient face had pinched into a thousand lines. She gripped his forearm tightly.
I believe you. Sun Chaser is no dreamer. Not now. Maybe he never has been. I never believed the part about the maze. I will begin talking to people and listening to them. I don't care what the other Sea Clans do, but I think it's time that we had a new spiritual leader for this village.
Moonlight washed the oak forest as Kestrel hiked northward up the slope toward Buffalo Bird's camp. Buffalo Bird had kept her moving at a fast walk for over two hands of time. She could see his big hide lodge on the top of the hill, where four young men stood before a fire, their faces glowing orange in the reflected flames.
You must be glad to see so many men, eh, Lamb Antelope? A woman alone, running from her husband. She needs to be loved. Well, even if you're not glad to see them, they will be glad to see you. We've been out hunting mammoths for over a moon. In all that time, none of us have had the pleasure of seeing a single track, let alone the pleasure of a woman. And you're very pretty, despite the bruises and the cuts on your face. Will you fight us? Oh, that would be good. My brothers would like that. Perhaps you could keep us entertained all night long.
Buffalo Bird, speak with me honestly. I don't care what you do with me. What will you do to my little girl? She's only 22 days old. She's no threat to you or your brothers. And you could sell her, or give her to someone who wants a baby.
I don't know. That traitor only told us he wanted his wife back. And how do we feed that baby if you were gone? The girl would cause many problems.
What does that mean?
It means I don't know.
Will you kill my baby?
I will have to talk to my brothers about it. But we want to find that traitor as soon as we can. A woman alone can run pretty fast, but carrying a baby? The child is worth nothing to us.
Nothing?
Kestrel looked down at Cloud Girl's beautiful little face, framed in the hood of rabbit fur, and the hard ground beneath her feet melted to quicksand.
The best thing for you, Lame Antelope, is if you really are this Kestrel that the traitor is searching for. Because if you're not, and we've already killed your baby, well, we can't have you going back to your clan and telling them about us. You could start a war, get a lot of good people killed. It would be all your fault.
Kestrel stood, rooted to the ground.
Did Lambkill destroy your will to survive? Why are you just standing here?
Go on. Walk, I'm hungry. Fresh deer meat is waiting for us in camp.
Kestrel turned. On the hill above, The shadows of his brothers played across the forest like huge, shapeless monsters. She began walking. Her eyes scanned both sides of the trail, searching for and finding a thick patch of grass 20 paces ahead, where the trail veered sharply upward through a small outcrop of rocks. Her steps grew silent, like bobcats at dawn. With great care, she shifted the weight of the rabbit fur sack to her left arm and slowly reached down to unlace the pack tied around her waist. Her fingers barely touched the contents, identifying them without making the slightest sound. Flakes, twine, Cloud Girl's mousehide pacifier, the taper ulna. Sickness churned in her belly as her fingers tightened around the ulna.
You can do it! You have to!
Buffalo Bird was very close behind her now, closing the gap between them as they neared the rock outcrop.
Besides, that traitor's brother Tannen told me that Kestrel had committed incest. If you're her, your baby's dead anyway. At least we'll do it fast so the girl doesn't suffer. I don't know about that lamb kill. He was so crazy, he might torture and...
Kestrel glanced sideways at the thick patch of grass and lifted her foot to the first stone step on the trail. It wobbled dangerously beneath her moccasin.
Oh no!
Kestrel dropped Cloud Girl into the grass.
What's happening? Just grab onto that next...
Kestrel pulled the ulna from her pack, braced her feet, and spun around. She felt the weapon go deep. Blood spattered his buckskin shirt and soaked her hands. Buffalo Bird grabbed for her as he fell backward. They rolled down the slope and twined like lovers, toppling over brush and rocks before they landed hard against a tree trunk. Slowly, Buffalo Bird went limp. Kestrel rolled to the side. She put a bloody hand over her mouth and sobbed silently.
Buffalo Bird? Buffalo Bird, is that you? Buffalo Bird?
On the hill, she could hear Buffalo Bird's brothers checking on him. One of the men left the fire and went to the edge of the hilltop to peer down. Against the golden aura of the blaze, he looked huge. Kestrel jerked the dart quiver from beneath Buffalo Bird, but the shafts were splintered. One of the finger laces on the atlatl was still wrapped around Buffalo Bird's fingers. Kestrel tore the lace away before she stumbled to her feet and ran for Cloud Girl. When she grabbed for the rabbit fur sack, she could see that Cloud Girl was all right.
Hold on, Cloud Girl. We have to run fast.
Sunchaser carefully worked his way along a creek bed. The game trail had veered into a sheer-walled canyon where sunlight rarely penetrated. Helper had trotted so far into the lead, hands of time ago, that Sunchaser had lost sight of him. He'd been following Helper for 2 days. The bulls had fallen behind late yesterday, disappearing into the forest to die. Only the wounded mammoth cow now walked the trail ahead of them. With each step she took, the obsidian points of his darts would be cutting deeper. By now, her pain would have grown unbearable.
You're to blame, Sunchaser. You've caused her to hurt this way.
When Mammoth Above had come to him on his first vision quest, he'd promised her that he would never again lift his atlatl against one of her children. Would she understand that he'd had no choice? That these children had gone rogue? He lowered his eyes, studying the pale light that mottled the canyon. On the rocks that poked up in his path, dark red spots gleamed. The cow had lost a lot of blood. Ahead, the game trail meandered through a shaded glen and disappeared around a bulge in the canyon wall. Sunchaser plodded forward. As he followed along the curve, he saw a small waterfall cascading down a 20-hand drop. Ravens and buzzards circled overhead. The musty odors of mold and decay accosted him long before he finished rounding the bend. The first skeleton took him by surprise. Here lay the remains of a mastodon. Though the mastodons had died out long before he'd been born, he knew their bones well. A long, dark point lay half buried in the mastodon's third rib. Made of fine red chert, it glittered in the deepening shadows. This animal had been hunted, probably killed by humans, but its bones showed no signs of having been butchered. So the bull had escaped its hunters and bravely journeyed here to die.
Bless you, Father. I hope your soul is running free through the forests in the land of the dead.
Sunchaser stroked the huge skull. More skeletons met his gaze, as he continued into the hidden valley. Dozens of them, perhaps even 100, some with hairy hides shrunken over their bones like great gray cocoons. They filled the box canyon. Sunchaser turned at the sound. Helper lay on the grass with his nose touching the trunk of the dying mammoth cow. He had his ears down and his eyes wide open, peering intently at the mammoth's closed lids. The cow had stumbled and fallen atop her two front legs. She hadn't the strength to rise again. Her back legs twisted hideously in the tall grass. Dart shafts protruded like perverse quills from her blood-soaked hair. The sight wounded Sunchaser's soul.
Oh, Mother, forgive me.
Sunchaser knelt at Helper's side and looked into the mammoth's eye. Fear and pain surged in that dark well.
I haven't come to hurt you, Mother. Not again. I swear it.
Sunchaser reached out and gently touched the gray skin below her eye. The wrinkles felt soft and warm like sunlit moss on a summer day. Mammoth blinked lazily at him. He didn't know how long he held that forlorn gaze, but when the cow's eye became glassy with death, the sky showed stars flickering through a thin layer of clouds. Sunchaser lay down on his side, facing the cow, and placed his cheek on a patch of the long silken hair that hung from her lower jaw. It smelled of grass and sunshine and blood. Cold, so cold. He felt colder than he'd ever thought possible for a living man. Helper trotted over and curled around Sunchaser's back, shielding him from the mist that gathered in the box canyon.
I had no choice, Helper. You know that, don't you? I had to kill this cow. I didn't want to, but all those screams.
Sunchaser buried his face in the cow's shaggy hair and closed his eyes. His soul drifted. Like an old leaf touched by winter's first gale, he longed to break loose from his body and fly with the cow to the land of the dead. Sometime in the night, movement stirred the grass. Sunchaser sat up and saw the cow staring at him.
You're alive. I didn't kill you?
The cow's shape blended with the darkness, but as she lifted her huge head, the glow of the full moon struck her and he could make out her face. A silver sheen coated every wrinkle on her old hide and reflected in the black depths of her eyes. She curled her trunk and tucked it between her forelegs.
Yes, you did, human. I came to Otterclan Village to die.
You wanted to die? Why, Mother?
You have failed us, Sunchaser. There's nothing left for mammoths on this earth.
No, not yet. I've just lost my way temporarily. I'll figure out the path through the maze. Give me more time.
There is no time left, Dreamer. The world is changing too fast for us. As the glaciers melt, the ocean rises, the rain never stops, and the grasses change. The buffalo are growing more numerous, taking from us the few areas of good graze left. We're starving. We're sick. Our weakness makes us easy prey for your humans with your deadly darts and powerful atlatls. It is time for us to go.
Is that why the mammoth herd ran into the sea?
They were trying to reach the land of the dead across the water. They had been begging the Thunder Beings to come for them. Finally, they decided to try to make the journey alone. How brave they were. It is not an easy thing to admit that your time is finished. Someday, human, your kind will have to face this truth too.
Help me, Mother. Maybe it's not too late for you. If I can just figure out how to bypass the new turn in the maze, I can go and talk to Wolf Dreamer again. He can guide me, tell me how to put the world back in balance so that you will have enough grasses to eat. I've been so busy healing the sick that I haven't had time to dream. But Wolf Dreamer promised to bring all your relatives back with him from the land of the dead when I've balanced things again.
Maybe there is a place where the buffalo aren't so numerous. Maybe...
Why can't you just let us die, human? There's nothing wrong with dying.
I can't let you go, Mother. I need you. Humans need you.
For what?
For ourselves. Don't you see? We've hunted and eaten mammoths for so long that we are mammoths. Our bodies are made from yours, like your children's. Your blood runs in our veins. Who will we be when you're gone?
Oh, you don't understand.
What will happen to our souls, Mother, when our flesh becomes that of sage chickens? Instead of trumpeting in our dreams, we'll have to learn to cluck.
You believe that? That the human soul will change without mammoths?
Yes, I do. Please, I need more time.
There's a place by the sea where you must go for your answer, Sunchaser. A rock shelter that hangs out over a narrow ledge of stone. It's very difficult to find. There is only one way to enter it.